It's Roll Radio. It's Siren Radio. I'm Chris Johnson, and you have ears. Enjoy.
I'm glad that Chris Johnson actually remembered us from those days. He's probably still remembered by the team at the New Theatre Royal Lincoln. Yes, it's another edition of Royal Radio, as Chris has just said. And in the studio, we've got not one, not two, but three fabulous individuals welcoming her back after a gap of far, far, far too long. We have the awesomeness creator of pantomimes extraordinaire and the real genius behind the New Theatre Royal Lincoln. It's Natalie Hayes Cowley. How are you, Natalie?
I'm very well. How are you? Great to be back.
Exactly. In the studio, no worrying about Zoom or any of those as factors, physically here, you know, which is great stuff. We've also, of course, got the ever-present voice of Royal Radio. That would be Oliver. How are you, Ollie?
I'm not bad, Alex. How are you?
Excellent. Slightly off microphone there, but you can move that microphone around for your good self. There we are. That's so much better. It is. It's so much better. And I have to say, having been to not one but two productions since we last spoke, if you haven't taken the opportunity, dear listener, to get yourself to the New Theatre Royal, do so, because both... full 10 out of 10, both totally different genres. One, The Spooky World of Charles Dickens and The Signalman, absolutely outstanding. And, of course, the other thing, the classic musical Buddy. If you haven't got a time machine, it's tough, because they've gone. We're not going to talk about them, apart from in retrospect. Apart from that, we've got a whole heap of other good things coming up. We'll find out some of them more. We've also got a newbie in the studio. She's a graduate of the University of Lincoln. Was it a graduate of the dance course? What's your official degree, please, Rebecca?
It was just the BA Honours
Dance. You say just the BA Honours Dance. I mean, that's significant in itself, really. So welcome to Royal Radio. Would you like to introduce your first piece of music, which you've said, go for that one. I need it, because Natalie will otherwise get out the rifles and have all sorts of other issues. So what's this we're about to hear?
Absolutely, it's Shotgun by George Ezra.
Homegrown alligator, see you later. Gotta hit the road, gotta hit the road. The sun ain't changing the atmosphere. Architecture unfamiliar, I could get used to this. By in the yellow and green, stick around and you'll see what I mean. There's a mountain top that I'm dreaming of. If you need me, you know where I'll be. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. South of the equator, navigator, gotta hit the road, gotta hit the road. A deep sea diving round the clock, bikini bottoms, lager tops, I could get used to this. Time flies by in the yellow and green, stick around and you'll see what I mean. There's a mountain top that I'm dreaming of. If you need me, you know where I'll be. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. We got two in the front, two in the back, sailing along. You'll see what I mean. There's a mountain top that I'm dreaming of. If you need me, you know where I'll be. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. I'll be riding shotgun, feeling like a someone. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone, a someone, a someone, a someone.
Natalie is such a consummate professional, she didn't say anything about the fact that her headphones were down and zero, so she couldn't have actually heard a thing there other than lip reading. But ever the consummate professional, she was saying, it's okay, I've got my cans on and I'll just read his lips and hopefully they'll be sorted out there. Honestly, Natalie, sometimes you're just too professional for your own good.
I know, and I don't like to complain, but I just love wearing them.
That's very true. And they look very fitting. Let's talk a bit about yourself, Natalie, because there are folk who say, now we've heard the name and we know she's very important, but you, I mean, literally you have, and it's no underestimate to do this, you've kind of totally revamped the entirety of the New Theatre Royal Lincoln. I mean, it's gone for a place which, let's be honest, before you took over, was maybe not seeing its best days. It had seen its centenary, it worked through that. And yet now, I was saying to the station manager, Ryan Jones, so much good stuff, literally every week of the year. You must feel pretty pleased about that.
I'm really pleased, but I've got to correct you. It's not me. It's the team. Like, we're a really small team. And because I think everyone's so passionate about the building, everyone, well, the majority of the team have got history with the building. I think they've got that love. And it's more than a job. And I think that's what makes the difference. When you love what you do, it isn't work. It's a phrase that I sort of say. And I think because there's so much love in the building, for the industry, for the city, I think that's the dream team. And that's what makes it what it is. Yeah. 100%.
And you know, clearly that's echoed in the staff that you recruit as well. I mean, Oliver, you're always singing the praises of the whole process. I mean, we've just got a newbie on board. We've introduced her. She's done our first piece of introduction. Yeah. Do you feel exactly the same in terms of what Natalie's been saying there, that actually that the whole sense of esprit de corps is vital, from the person, the lady on the box office right the way through to a lady that I must admit, I did have a little smile because she has the laser-eyed stare of you just know you're not going to cross her in any way, shape or form. When I was watching her looking at some of the youngsters who were coming into the single, and I thought, you're not going to have to cross this person. She's focused. No names, but still.
I think that's been a little bit modest. What Matt and Mike have done is they've got the place back open and up and running. It is obviously a team effort, but obviously it kind of it stemmed from what they bought, so that's great. But no, you're right. Everybody has got a history of the theatre. Like we say, Ian, who we've mentioned a number of times, he's been at theatre on and off for like 35 plus years. Huh. Sort of front of house volunteers have ushered there for almost as long, if not longer. Same with some of our box office staff. People just love the venue. And I think, like you said, when you come, it's just got a special feel about it.
Yeah. We seem to be having one or two problems with your microphone, though. I'm not sure why that is, but you know, maybe we'll sort of seek assistance, or else we'll just go on to the same thing.
Actually,
it's fine. Oh, no, it's just another line, though. Just apology, because it sounds as though actually Natalie said, look, I'm getting central stage here. We'll just put Ian in the other side of this. Okay, let's turn to Rebecca, if we can. Rebecca, we'll actually switch you on to Natalie's microphone for a moment. Just pass that along so we get a clarity from that point of view. What led you to the New Theatre Royal Lincoln? Or was it just a case of, well, I just wandered up Steep Hill and there it was, bang?
Well, actually, almost not too far off. So when I came to university, my parents dropped me off at, you know, accommodation, and I just lived down the road. So we walked past and we were like, oh, there's a theatre here. And then they said, oh, go and see if they need any, you know, bar work or anything like that. So that's how I started. I just walked in and said, do you need any bar staff? And so I ended up working behind the bar. I still do the odd bits now and again, but yeah, I worked there all through my uni years, and then carry on a bit, and then yeah, just kind of progressed, and then Natalie asked if I could kind of help on the other side of things, and then yeah, that's how we kind of progressed into this production assistant type role, and working closely with Natalie and everyone really to assist with the in-house shows.
And you've been with the New Theatre Royal now for how long as an employee?
So coming up to 6 years.
6 years?
Yeah.
That's right. You say the university and all the rest of the bits and pieces slotted into place of that. Okay, Natalie, back to yourself, if we can. We'll just move that back to yourself again. We're looking ahead to some of the adventures that are coming through here. Of course, on Wednesday, the 18th of October, which is great if you are listening to this via podcast. If you're listening to it via Siren Radio on its first transmission, get a time machine. But Gary Delaney, Gary in Punderland. Sounds good. Tell us a bit about it.
Do you know what? I'm really excited about this one because Gary Delaney actually was our first headline performer in our in-house comedy night, our very first one back in 2017, June, I think it was, 2017. And he was our very first headline performer in that. And to see him come back in his own show is brilliant. He's incredibly funny. He's actually married to Sarah Milligan. Is it Milligan? It is Milligan. And he's a lovely
guy. From Sunderland.
Yes, of course.
Beloved, of course, by at least one of them.
Oliver.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's a lovely guy. You know, like when you say it's not just what you're like on stage in the profession, in this field as well. For me personally, it's very important how people conduct themselves backstage. In fact, if not more important. Mm. And he is one of those sort of people who are just wonderful backstage, on and off stage. He's wonderful and so funny and so quick-witted. So I'm very excited to welcome him back to the theatre.
Fantastic. Well, that's Gary Delaney. Are tickets still available? It's a case of you must be joking. They're all gone.
No, there are tickets available. Yeah, so but you need to be quick because obviously he's here tomorrow. So there's only a few, though.
Needless to say, working for the New Theatre Royal Lincoln, it's more than just 9 to 5. It's Dolly Parton time. The Dolly Show is with us on the 20th of October. That's a Friday. Again, one of a series of things where, until you actually experience these, you just don't realise how professional these... it seems churlish to call them tribute acts. They're much more than that. They're whole kind of celebration acts in many ways, as opposed to, you know, the what we're seeing here. And presumably that's exactly what people can actually get when they see the Dolly Show vis-a-vis Dolly Parton.
Exactly, yeah. And they really are. They have to know the show and the artist incredibly well to not only impersonate them and to perform as them, but also they have to have that passion, that love and that research behind them. And that particular show and that particular genre of music, it really is a crowd pleaser. Our audience are just so, you know, the auditorium's electrified when those shows are on. And it's a real sing-along show. The audience, I'm sure, will be singing along throughout.
Fantastic. Speaking about singing along, of course, there is a Genesis theme that's working its way through this particular production, as well as, of course, of Aladdin. And if you want to really actually connect Genesis connected with Aladdin, maybe, just maybe, you might say Land of Confusion. Or that's a confusion mix. Mashup, I don't know. It's Royal Radio on Siren Radio, and this is Genesis.
Still alive.
think, fingers crossed, the technical difficulty which prevented Oliver from having full control of the microphone has actually gone. So, Ollie, Genesis, of course, Land of Confusion, we heard. And coming up, Europe's top tribute show, Genesis Connected on Friday, the 3rd of November. Are you excited, Ollie?
I am, yeah. These guys, they came to us last year as well, and they almost sold out then. And to be fair, it's going the same way this time. Ticket selling really fast for that again. He sounds great. The Pete Baltitude, the guy that kind of leads the band, he sounds great. He plays the drums as well, like Phil Collins does. I think he actually appeared on Stars in Her Eyes once upon a time, when that was still floating around.
Rebecca probably doesn't even remember Stars in Her Eyes.
A bit pre-Rebecca's time, bless her.
Tonight, Matthew, I will be Natalie Hayes Cowley.
What?
Different line. Genesis Connected, as you say, music of Genesis, obviously. Yeah. Phil Collins, Peter Gabriel, and Mike and the Mechanics, of course, who, again, have echoed through a whole system. An incredible mix of material from atmospheric anthems to chart toppers, with all the classic favourites, Sledgehammer, Turn It On Again, Over My Shoulder, Against All Odds, Salisbury Hill, You Can't Hurry. They're all fantastic. Rebecca. In terms of the, we'll gamble that microphone is now fully back into top form again. Is there such a thing as a favourite show this year? Let's say this year so far. I mean, because obviously 6 years might be far too much. And besides, I was serving coffee for most of the things, so come on.
Yes. it was great because often I try and used to go and pop my head in into shows if I could just to see, because we have such a variety of shows, which is amazing to see. But I mean, obviously being dance, we had a few kind of Strictly ones. We've had like Ian Waite and Vincent Simone and those sort of people coming as well. So. Fun ones to attend, but I think just the whole, I know it was very recently, but with Buddy, I think that has to be one of my favourites, just the whole kind of the way they took over like backstage, and then just the buzz around front of house as well, knowing we've kind of got that big name in the theatre was really special.
Did you have any awareness of Buddy Holly before you saw the show, or was it just a case of the heck am I going to see here?
No, we did, because we've had various shows before that were more the tribute style. So yes, I had kind of known about it, but I wasn't sure how they were going to do this one, whether it would be more songs, more story. Didn't really know what to expect.
Both, really.
Yeah, it was, yes.
And some of those figures and statistics are quite phenomenal. You can, of course, listen to our Buddy Holly special. In fact, lots of Buddy Holly specials. I hadn't realised we'd also done a piece with Glenn, who was the original Buddy back in, I think, 2011 when they were back in Lincoln, so there's a long history from that point of view. Natalie, Elf the Musical, is this one where you think, oh, that's chaos, I can just sit back and relax and enjoy the whole sequence, or is it just a case of, yeah, but once Elf the Musical is actually gone, it's literally only a few weeks before the pantomime is actually on?
Yeah, because actually whilst Elf is on, we're sort of doing pre-production prep continuously, and then actually as the show gets out, we get in, we panto, and then the next day rehearsal starts. So really is quite quite packed.
For the benefit of those people who've been living under a rock in Lincoln or wherever for the last wee while and weren't aware that Aladdin is the pantomime that's coming through this year between the 5th of December through to the 7th of January with Roger Wright, Louis Smith, MBE, Ian Waite, of course, and a whole heap of others. Just talk us through the thought processes of, let's do Aladdin.
Do you know what? Honestly, we always do our pantomimes on a sort of rotisserie. Most theatres do. And we were overdue to do Aladdin again. So that's the truth of it. And actually, Aladdin was our first panto in, probably before my time, many, many years, where the set we built ourselves. So usually we would hire the set in, but Aladdin was our first production where we actually managed to actually source and a creative to get the set built and designed, painted. Duncan, who actually does, I don't know if for those of you that have been in our auditorium, you see the lovely proscenium and all the beautiful sort of structure inside. Duncan actually does all the sort of titivating that's needed around the building with that sense. Yeah, and he also does all our cloths and all our sort of touching up of scenery and stuff. So that he sort of did in its entirety. So our cloth for Aladdin that we did back in 2017 is stunning. So that was really quite exciting. Obviously, as we do every year with our Christmas productions, we like to do that little unique NTR twist, and this time is no different. Always want to raise that bar.
Is that why you've got an Olympic athlete actually, as well, really.
Yes.
Raise the bar. Move on, Lewis Smith.
Lewis, yeah, he he's incredible. He's such a sort of stickler for perfectionist. You have to be if you're an athlete of that caliber. And also, he won Strictly Come Dancing. He won the Masked Dancer. So he's got that lovely performance element. He's also done a West End show, Bring It On. So with the show, it's showcasing your performers, whoever, you know, we have in our pantomimes, it's about showcasing them. So I tend to write after casting. So each role is sort of depicted for people's skill sets to make them absolutely shine and really sort of push their skill sets to the forefront. And this year is no exception. We have that added sort of layer of gymnasts. We've even got gymnasts actually in our ensemble, our junior ensemble, and indeed our professional ensemble. So there's a lot of added layers of wow factor there visually. Yeah, it's exciting.
And of course, not only are you the producer, you're the writer and director of the pantomime. Did you just feel, well, I could do the choreography, but I'll hand that over to Claire just to give her something to do.
Do you know what? When I was saying earlier about it's been a small team, we are a small team. It'd be very expensive to get, you know, to buy scripts and to do stuff. And do you know what? Do it myself, then you don't have to pay me. Look at it that way. But the important thing is I am, and I will be honest, I'm a bit of a control freak, and I'm just, I don't know. I just think I'm just like a sponge of ridiculous, crazy, stupid, weird stuff, and it just kind of comes out on paper, and it. Touch wood, it seems to be.
And it's also
working. Important
that, yeah, okay, you're a micromanager, but at the same time, if that works and if it delivers the professionalism and it consistently delivers the results, then that's fine. It's if you didn't have the professional talents to go with that. And not that Chaods is this, I hasten to add, because it is, but there are amateur areas, not Chaods, I say, that sometimes you think, well, you might think you've got the ability, but you don't, and it becomes a bit of an irritant. And I think what you've described is something which is the right balance of having that professionalism, but also the drive to, as you say, raise the bar.
Yeah, 100%. You know, that's what we're about there, and we want to, you know, just keep the audience interested, and also moving with the times. You know, things are changing. It's doing the wants and needs of our patrons as well. And one thing that we're thrilled to have at the theatre is an audience where it's
always
not,
good, I think, at the theatre.
Well, an audience that's not, yeah, well, true. I mean, I should have worded that better. But an audience where it's not, you know, like historically people would say panto's for children. Well, no, panto isn't just for children. Sure. Panto's for everybody. And we have a huge, diverse crowd that comes in over the festive season. And we have a lot of people that come along that are just office staff and friends, and even people in their early 20s that come along with their friends to watch panto, which is wonderful.
We have indeed got students at the University of Lincoln from different countries who their first experience of pantomime is through the New Theatre Royal Lincoln. Kathy Manso, being one of our American graduates who's now actually in Ukraine doing stuff over there, she experienced the Easter pantomime for the first time, and she's still in recovery, but never mind. again, it's very important. So, Rebecca, have you been forced to do the splits and other sort of jetés, pas de deux, as Natalie been saying, yeah, you've got to demonstrate this to you from your dance routines?
Sometimes we have a bit of a mess around on stage, don't we, to figure things out and time things and do routines. So now and again, I do, and I help with the like junior auditions, so I get to teach the dance element of that. So it's great that I still get to use my dance skills in this job as well, which is nice. I'm still dancing, which
absolutely.
Is lovely.
And Ollie, from your own perspective, is this something again which you think, yeah, absolutely, I love those parallel bars, just send me to that horse?
That's it. Yeah, I'm hoping he teaches me how to do a backflip with a Smith. That's what I'm hoping for. Yeah. Rebecca's underselling herself as well, actually.
Yes.
Last year she had to step in and had to perform as one of the dancers on stage, so lady of many talents, right?
Yeah, yeah. Smashed it.
So I think she's understudying all the roles this year. Is that what you're going to do?
Nice. I can see you having a bit of a challenge with Roger Wright, Rebecca, to be honest. But, you know, I think, you know, suitable areas, you could probably actually channel the whole system. It's all good. Natalie, choice between The Living Years and Mike and the Mechanics or Easy Lover and Phil Collins? I think I know where you're going to go.
Oh, it's got to be Easy Lover.
I thought so.
Easy lover, you'll get a
Well, we could have actually opened up the microphones and you would have had Natalie blasting out Easy Lover, but we thought, no. I mean, another time, Natalie, we could do it, but it's all right. You're holding yourself back on that side of things. Because comedy nights are very much in fashion and will remain in fashion because, let's face it, these days we all need a laugh, especially on Thursday the 2nd of November. Isn't that right, Ollie?
It is, Alex, yes.
That's exactly.
This time around, we've got Windsor, who's the compere. He's been a couple of times, I believe, actually. Chris Brooker is a second comedian. And then Brendan Dempsey, who's an Irish comedian. He's been on shows like Walking Ted and stuff in the past, so should be a good lineup. And we've also just got our next lineup through as well for January, which is looking really exciting. So if you check our website, you'll see that soon. Very exciting one.
The next stage forward when people are bereft of pantomime scenario and think, where can we go? Well, there is always something at the New Theatre or Lincoln, following, of course, the 7th of January. So let's go back to the pantomime again, Natalie. I mean, tickets obviously have been available for quite some time now. Are they still available? Is it a case of if you want to actually go for the matinee performance on Saturday the 23rd of December for 10:30 a.m., which I always think is somewhat... I mean... just to actually do three shows, it's, I mean, my hats are off to you. I mean, there must be time where the cast think, no, I mean, and then we look at the 16th and 17th of December, it's like six shows over 24 hours.
Do you know what? I go completely against the grade of this, but I actually think it's
fun. You want a fourth show?
Yeah, add a fourth. It's fun. But if you actually break down how long the performers are on stage for and actually what they're doing as a working hour, do you know what I mean? And the downtime you've got sort of relaxing in the green room, it isn't that onerous. And you're having fun. I mean, what better way than with a live audience? I'm using these 7 weeks as just having a sort of break from work, really. Right, that's why I'm...
I can always see there's the time and motion study saying, oh, sorry, you've only done 3.5 minutes on the stage, etc. Get out there. Get out there and entertain them. It is great. And it's actually, it is good that actually you managed to pack in some of those programmes. So you do, apart from obviously the 25th of December, where you decided to obviously sort of take time out for that.
Got to give them a day off, haven't you?
I think so. But generally, it does work through that. And of course, the 2nd of January as well. So New Year's Day, you can actually reveal yourself with a pantomime. And even if you wish to, on my birthday, the 3rd of January, you can even actually have two shows there. So there you
go. Very special performances that day, yeah.
Yeah, I share it with J.R.R. Tolkien and Greta Thunberg. Huh? How dare you? Anyway, that's from that entirely. Rebecca, pantomime time, as we said, you were the saviour of last year's pantomime. We officially know with respect to that. How are you feeling about Aladdin? Do you feel as though it's something which, have you seen it before? Not this production, but are you familiar with pantomime and are you a panto fan?
Yes, absolutely. So actually, Aladdin was the first show when I joined the New Theatre Royal. It's the first show I worked, obviously, at the bar, but that is my first panto. So it's kind of like a full circle moment, which is lovely. But yeah, I'm very excited about this year. I think it's going to be amazing. Like Nat said earlier, it's all of our own set. We're in the process of building a new finale as well. So it's going to look, it's going to look really, really good. The costumes, we've been going through all the costumes, the colours are just amazing. So it's just one of those ones that's just a bit different from all your other pantos. Got obviously the special effects in there too, so that's make it extra exciting. So yes, it's going to be a great few weeks. It's going to be really fun.
Ollie, the words Pete Furman and Trick Trock, very important, especially if you have Pete Furman as it says, Pete Furman connected all sorts of ways. Sunday the 29th of October, 7:30 p.m. Why, with over 175 million online views and countless TV appearances, should we go and see Pete Furman at the New Theatre Royal, Lincoln?
Well, he's the UK's top comedian magician, is why you should go and see him. Mm-hmm. He's been seen on Tonight at the Palladium, the John Bishop Show, Sarah Millican, who we mentioned earlier, Guy Delaney, been on their show. He's just been on every single kind of big variety show on TV. I've seen him before, actually, a few years back. He's just good fun. Middlesbrough born, actually, Alex. Relate to him there.
As I like to say, it's not so much a kind of a sort of aspect of life. It's we're on a mission to civilise the rest of the planet, really.
Is that what it is?
You Southerners, you don't. Actually, you're Sunderland, aren't you?
I am technically Lincoln born.
Yes.
But I like to see myself on the northern side of things.
Yeah. Well, there we are. The north-south divide. Right. Anything south of Middlesbrough, who knows what's going on. No, it's all great stuff. Pete Furman, Trick Tock, and... well worth accessing. It's one night only, of course.
Just
so,
one night, yeah.
If you want to go there, so say go and see it now, book tickets now and get it sorted. And the other bonus thing, of course, Natalie, which always impresses me about Lincoln, is it's more of an experience. You've got the perfect theatre trip, which you always say, four steps to actually work through that. Try a theatrically themed cocktail. And also something else I noticed, which I was very tempted by, and probably will actually avail myself of, the extra bonus of actually having a platinum experience and putting in your orders for half-time drinks, etc. That's quite an initiative.
You know, the golden ticket, it's yes. called. And if you've got a golden ticket, mm. then you are set to have a wonderful night at the theatre. It's very frustrating when it's a busy house, full house. You have to queue up at the bar. You know, you can't find somewhere to sit.
So many people trying to say, is Rebecca on duty?
It's always difficult when Becca's on duty. Yeah. So the golden ticket is actually set in our stage door bistro, and it's actually table service assigned, you know, just for these golden ticket customers. It's all cordoned off. You get, you know, given a gold wristband, and that table's yours for the evening. So you have that table service for when you arrive at the theatre. You're escorted, obviously, to go and watch the show. You're brought back in the interval, to which your cocktails of your choice are there waiting for you with your ice cream. And it's just that lovely experience. I would personally pay for it myself going somewhere, because it's very frustrating, as I say, when you've got nowhere to sort of stand or having to queue for, like, by the time the interval's finished, you're still waiting at the bar to get your drink, you know, so.
Yeah, that bell rings and you think, I haven't even got my choc ice as yet. It's too much of my body. A little question I'm going to put to Ollie, which you may or may not be able to answer, and I can appreciate if you say no. I've got a clue here. The history of the new Theatre Royal.
Yes.
Question that I actually had from somebody recently was, which member, who from the royal family has visited the new Theatre Royal? Because I understood if you had to be new Theatre Royal, you would have somebody who's actually has to be of the royal family.
They do.
Yes.
And Natalie's really nodding her head as if she knows the answer.
Yeah, it's Queen Victoria.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
She actually visited the
royal. I think so.
You're saying think now.
No, I'm thinking now, because now you're putting me under pressure. I'm sure I am actually, because, wait a minute.
Because I was having this discussion with Ryan, our station manager, and I was saying, probably wasn't Queen Victoria, because she might have been a bit frail then, because it was obviously 1893. So I was thinking maybe her son, Prince Edward, or
Should
Prince of
that?
Wales.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Could
he
well have, because he was
sure
a theatre fan, basically.
Female. I don't know. That's a question for my husband.
Yeah, well,
get him on the line.
or maybe we should just get a copy of Neil Wright's History of the New Theatre Royal Lincoln for a mere £10, and actually maybe the story will be revealed
that
there.
That's wonderfully segued. Well done.
I thought it was still worked on that basis. Up Steep Hill? Well, certainly up Salisbury Hill.
Just had to trust imagination. My heart goes
And if you thought, well, that's fantastic value, I pay £25 to get a table, you get more than just a table. You actually get a platter, do you not, Natalie?
You do. You get a platter and two drinks and your ice cream. I should have mentioned that. That was probably the most important thing. And the platter's huge as well. You know, it's enough to feed two people for one person, so it's huge.
Added bonus from that point of view, in case you're wondering. And actually, avail yourself of that extra £25.
Becca was just glaring at me because I forgot.
What about to the platter, she was like. Anyway, it's all part and parcel of the whole thing. Okay, so Rebecca, we seem to have kind of identified that it might well have been that Queen Victoria was a visitor to the Theatre Royal before it burnt down, basically.
We think so.
Yeah,
we keep going through it. We're still not 100% sure,
but
if anyone knows,
yeah, exactly. Send in the details. You know, Siren Radio.
Buy
the book, as we said. Hopefully, very frustrating if you shell out the book for that and it's not in there. It must be in there. Surely it must be the why that. You
yes, it will. It will for sure.
Okay, so back to Ollie again, if we can. And what would you say of the sort of things we talked about? We haven't spoken, of course, of more dance, which is coming through with The Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
Which is another dance routine.
Yeah, this is brought to us by Ballet Theatre UK. They came early this year, actually twice. They brought us Romeo and Juliet and Beauty and the Beast. Mm-hmm. They're always a really strong team. They always sell really well. The idea of this panto as well, it's supposed to be a really family-friendly production. So it's a nice one if you've got little ones that you think might be interested in ballet or just dance in general. It could be a nice introduction for them.
But sadly, no little dog Toto, as indeed stole the hearts of the Easter pantomime.
No, I don't think there'll be any pumpkin this time around, no.
Exactly. Always great to have a pumpkin in Wizard of Oz, but still, there you go. I mean, how was that experience, Natalie, in terms of actually having a live animal on stage? Because, I mean, it's you know, it's one of those things where you say never work with children or animals. And
no, always work with, well, maybe not always work with children, but always work with animals. I absolutely adore animals, and the fact that we had four, and in particular Pumpkin, who was just adorable. They were all adorable, to be fair, and they were absolutely ruined by Becca and myself and indeed the rest of the cast. Mm-hmm. Lots of treats given, lots of little cut-up sausages. Yeah, they were wonderful, and they really did steal the hearts and minds of the entire show, never mind, you know, young children that equally are adorable on stage and those sort of wonderful characters. But yeah, the doggies absolutely stole the show.
For those people who actually are thinking about dogs and stealing the show, there's Roy Chubby Brown coming in, obviously Middlesbrough. Only kidding. But I'm sure he would appreciate that.
Exactly.
In the joys of the 13th of January, I think he's performing, preceded, of course, by the adult panto. Now, Beauty and the Big Beast, fanar. Not necessarily one for the under-18s, I would have thought.
Oh, do you know what? I love these. I have so much love for this company. They visit us every single year, and they are absolutely hilarious. They have a company of three. They do multi-characters, very simple set, simple sort of premise and how they do it. But they really set the audience up to understand that it is not for the faint-hearted. And
all the cancel culture people.
Yeah, never mind tongue-in-cheek and innuendos. It's all there and it's very, very funny.
Yeah, I think we were saying that Mr. Brown has been cancelled by a theatre in Nottingham, I believe,
a
year or so ago. Yes, right. People have said no. Still, never mind. It takes all sorts, as Roy may or may not say. But that's again some of the variety that's coming through. All righty. How can people, Ollie, get in touch with the new Theatre Royal Lincoln? Is it as simple as going online and typing in new Theatre Royal Lincoln and then everything else will follow from there?
As easy as that, yeah. Obviously, box office 01522 519999, or just pop in and see us. Sonia's on the desk there, lovely Sonia. Shall we? Well up for a good chat.
Yeah, they're all very friendly, I have to say.
We tend to be,
very,
yeah.
Very good. For
Sonia might even make some cakes, you know. So, wow. Yeah, Sonia bakes, yeah.
Bakes by Sonia.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. You can be followed on Facebook, Instagram, and, of course, X, formerly known as Twitter. And that's NTR Lincoln for all of those, plus, of course, TikTok, not TrickTok, just in case people are confused about it, but TikTok. That is, of course, NTR Lincoln as well as the usual Facebook material. So all of the socials are there. And, of course, it is a category of excellence from TripAdvisor. So great stuff there. Hopefully I helped in terms of giving 100% feedback for the actual things on there. Or maybe not. Maybe just was another thing entirely. Rebecca, have you enjoyed your first ever Royal Radio?
I have. I've loved it, actually. It's been great fun. Thank you for having me.
And there we are. You see how you can be rolled into all sorts of other marvellous things there. What is your official title at the new Theatre Royal Lincoln, then? Just general person who does anything, anywhere, anytime?
Yeah, I suppose. But my official title is production assistant, and I help with the social media marketing.
Fantastic. Good stuff. So, I mean, is it fair to say, Ollie, that Alex can rest easy wherever she's based now? Sorry, she hasn't died.
She's been followed up very fondly by somebody that loves TikTok as well, which is great. Because, you know, I'm not the TikTok
striking
generation.
Striking the dance moves.
I try and say as much as I can.
He gets involved. He loves it really. He loves it really.
There's only so much you can give to China in terms of data protection, various other factors, but still, never mind. That's the whole thing. And great to have you back on the programme. Of course, it is your programme, Natalie, Royal Radio. I know you say it's part of the team, but let's face it, no Natalie Hayes Grace Crowley, no New Theatre Royal Lincoln, no sort of team, no Royal Radio. So there we are. Pleased that you're actually here. Do you feel as though we've maintained the standard of previous months?
Yes, absolutely. I think Ollie's been smashing it for the team, and it's...
He makes that 15-minute journey.
He does, with ease.
Just wander back up again.
I didn't moan once on the way down here to...
We've got to go back yet, though.
I know, we've got to do the walk again. No, he's been smashing it, and thank you so much for having us, and we love coming in. It's brilliant.
Absolute delight. I do believe that David is actually going to be hosting a Siren Radio show from That's the plan.
So we're just trying to sort
once again, Ollie, you know, the invitation's never been opened to the Royal Radio people. It's okay, we're fine. It's all part of the Siren Radio family, which is great stuff. How about Miking the Mechanics and the Living Years?
Yes, love this song.
Okay, because
can I sing along though? Is that all right?
Of course. I mean, you know, just feel free to do that. I mean, looking ahead, and we need to, of course, April 2024. Under the sea. Sorry, I just couldn't resist that. Under the sea.
That's Casting Sword then.
Oh, he's got gadgets and gizmos aplenty under this one.
Exactly. Join us under the sea for laughter and fun. It's The Little Mermaid, the Easter production, Sunday the 7th to Sunday the 14th of April. And presumably you're already thinking about the casting and things from that point.
Yeah, we've started casting. Not started writing it yet, but we're picking songs and we've got some costumes in. So, yeah, we're on it.
It's following the pattern of the James Bond movies. They do the cast. And then they write the screenplay.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. That's the way to go.
Exactly. Definitely the way forward. Okay, to Natalie Hayes Cowley, to Rebecca, to Ollie, huge thanks to you. Keep on keeping on. And Mike and the Mechanics, The Living Years, are ready to go. So can we all say Happy Royal Radio?
Happy Royal Radio.
Happy Royal Radio.
Between the breath. all the things I had to say. I think I caught his spirit later that same year. I'm sure I heard his echo in my baby's newborn tears. I just wish I could have told him in the living.